This is Jacqueline Lowe from Grace That Reigns. Today, I'm going to speak about the upper room. Right after this, Bishop Gilmore will take you into the topic of Holy Week called Another Key. Yesterday, I was thinking of how we arrived at Holy Week 2020. You know, our last retreat was on March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And after that retreat, we were all filled with joy. We were so excited for the participants who came to that retreat. And we were all excited about giving our next one, knowing that we could make a difference and bring Jesus and his light and healing to others. But then, a week later, the COVID-19 virus exploded and many people started to lose their lives because of this virus. This last month has been one of big changes where we've all been glued to our television sets and our iPhones as we watched our heroes, those frontline workers, our doctors and nurses, treat our brothers and sisters amid the COVID-19 outbreak. And it's been heart-wrenching. But during each passing day, you know, disbelief, fear, and anxiety has gripped us all. And then, what did we do as Catholics? We began to look within ourselves, and then we prayed. And in that time, as Catholic churches and adoration chapels closed, and we could no longer meet with our own prayer groups, we never gave up. You know, as a social animal, that's been hard for a lot of us. But during these past weeks, I've been identifying with the disciples on Pentecost Sunday. And we are told that the disciples went to the upper room after Jesus had risen because they were afraid to go out and they didn't know what to do next. And there in the upper room, they huddled with each other, anxious, each afraid and feeling isolated and waiting for the Holy Spirit to breathe into them the breath of courage and the breath of life. When they were ready, they would go out, you know, with great faith and confidence in God to evangelize to the people. So you might say then, gosh, you know, Pentecost isn't until May 20th this year. Isn't this podcast about Holy Week? Well, yes, of course. Sure, but we have been given this time to approach Holy Week in a really different sort of way. What I mean is, like the disciples, we are given this special time to go up to our upper rooms, to sit, to meditate, to read sacred scripture, and to really get to know Jesus again in the way that he's calling us to be with him. What have you been doing this past week? I see that you've been spending time with your families, and in this upper room, I feel like we're breaking bread and we're bonding. I was online the other day, and I couldn't help but notice how many fathers and mothers are posting pictures of the many ways that they are now interacting with their children through board games or through family movie nights or creative scavenger hunts around the home. I believe that family time this year at Easter will be a little different than it was last year. I think people will learn to communicate again, and I think people will learn to accept each other and love each other for who they are, with all their thoughts and their ideas and their originality. One of the lessons that I've taken from this time is that I will never take anyone for granted anymore. We are now, in fact, using our time in our upper room to care, to share, and to strengthen one another. We have a lot more in common with the disciples than we ever thought, you know? See, Pentecost is a word that means the 50th day after the Passover. We have just spent 24 days in our homes. We're almost there. But as we hunker down, this solitude, like it did for the disciples, will be a source of great grace. And so then, these last weeks bring us to this most important week in our Catholic calendar, Holy Week. And what a powerful week this will be. And now this is Bishop Gilmore, and he will continue on with the topic of Holy Week. His subject is called Another Key.
Hello, this is Bishop Gilmore of Grace It Rains. I'd like to visit with you for a few minutes today about the Holy Week we are about to celebrate. On this Monday of Holy Week, Mary anoints Jesus in John's Gospel, anoints his feet with oil, and the whole house is filled with the fragrance. All attention is just thus drawn to him. It reminds us that the worst form of poverty is to be unaware of and unmoved by his sheer presence. And we are often miserably poor ourselves for that very reason. We have him in our liturgy, after all, but we remain, for the most part, unaware and unmoved. That could be why our churches are so empty in this Holy Week, because we have fallen into the habit of celebrating these liturgies with hearts quite unmoved. The quality of liturgy, you see, depends on the love that inspires it and on the love it thus generates in us. Without the prayer of the heart, the prayer of the body will inevitably lose its power. And this is why I want you to stop for just this week. The conditions in our country help you do that right now. You can't go to church on Holy Thursday, or on Good Friday, or on Holy Saturday for the Easter Vigil, or even on Easter Sunday itself. But you are not thereby cut off from all these mysterious things. You can connect with them virtually through your phone, of course, or through your television. That's not the same as personal bodily participation, to be sure, but it is something. It is enough, in fact, to summon up memories of Holy Week's past and to quicken our desire for Holy Weeks to come. And you can also do two other things. One, you can create a space and a time for yourself, a place set apart. And you can go there each day of this Holy Week. Two, you can closet yourself there with the prayers and the readings the Church assigns for these days. You can read these things slowly, pausing here and pausing there, allowing them to sink into your very mind and heart. Ordinarily, we like to do most of the talking in any exchange. We have quite lost the habit of listening well. This is a week for recovering that lost habit. Stay with the inspired Word of God each day. Persistence will lead you into the love of God which surpasses all understanding. In these readings from our Holy Week liturgies, the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of Jesus come alive again. The very thing that happened 2,000 years ago is, in fact, here with us now in this Holy Week 2020. How is this possible? This thing that happened once, how is it possible that it is here with us always? The short answer to that is that we Christians are spiritually Semites. They knew the secret of putting the once and the always together. In our public worship, we have taken on the thought patterns and the symbols and the words and the actions of our Hebrew ancestors. They gave us an understanding of and a feeling for ritual in our worship. That is to say, they took the Exodus event and celebrated it each year in ritual words and ritual actions. They took the historical event that happened one time only, and through ritual, they allowed it to be present in their own time. As I say, they united the once and the always. And we do the same with our celebration of the redemption. We make the historical fact of Jesus and all that happened to him present again in our day through ritual. Jesus himself pointed out to his disciples the connection between what happened on Holy Thursday and what happened on Good Friday and what happened on Easter Sunday. He gave us the key to a correct understanding of all of it. Our Holy Week liturgies are the historical events of the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of Jesus, but they are transposed now into another key. In this way, what happened once is made present for us always. Our liturgy is the past in another key, and so it is always ours in the present moment. That is the mystery of ritual. May it be yours in these April days of 2020.
This is Jacqueline Lowe and Bishop Gilmore again. Thank you for joining us at Grace That Reigns.